All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just come. We thank you so much that you are God, that you are over all, and you watch over us. And you've given your Spirit to help guide us in your ways. I pray for your blessing over the service. I pray that we bring blessings to you through music, through fellowship, through message. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as most of you, y'all know, I normally have a whole bunch of paperwork when I come up here. Last week, I had a wonderful time just north of Glendive, Montana, at Eastern Montana Bible Camp. And I finished my sermon while I was up there. I found time. The Lord, however, well, he's got a sense of humor. Sometimes he likes to pull us, stretch us beyond what we think we can do. So there's no sermon notes. We have a PowerPoint, but it's not going to go along with it. God says, Justin, you're going to change everything. I got that about yesterday. But before we get into that, so there's your warning. Before we get into that, I want to give you a quick recap of my week last week. Don't judge me too harshly. That was little sleep. Yeah. Like I said, it was a wonderful week at camp to where, well, I got to learn a lot more things, even as a director. So, I left Thursday because it's a wonderful 9-hour drive over there. I left Thursday because they started a new program called Higher Challenge, and what that is for the college-age kids to get together for 2 days for intense Bible study. We did 10 hours of it. And through that, there were three pastors who taught and one professor from Yellowstone Bible College. The first one who taught a few lessons, his focus was on discernment. He was telling us and the kids, we need to understand truth and know what truth is and where our faith is at and discern right from wrong. He was warning about don't being deceived. As the scriptures tell us, there will be many false prophets that come along, and we need to test them. There will be many false Jesuses that come along. We need to understand and know what is true, what is not true. There are so many things that we have to be conscious of. We have to work on our filters. We all have filters we need, and that filter, of course, is the Word of God. Every decision that we make needs to be filtered through His Word, through the inspired Word of God. Now, why he talked about this was that he fell trapped to something. He got a contact from this one organization who said, hey, we want to come into your church. We want to give a presentation. We want to speak at your church with music and a speaker. And as any pastor would do, he said, well, let's go have coffee first. I want to know what you're about first. They had coffee. They met, and, you know, the normal questions that got asked were salvation through faith, and yes. And another one, which translation of the Bible do you use? And the person said, well, the NASB, the ESV, the KJV, well, those are not bad. So he said, yes, come on in to the church. And they came in, set up their music. And he'd never heard any of the songs that this band was playing. Never heard them. The message was of the music was, it was okay. But then he started reading. So when he got to the scripture part, he started reading scripture. You know, he thought, well, he's going to use the NIV 84, the ESV, or the NASB, or whatever. It didn't sound anything like that. He's like, what is going on? Come to find out, not long after, this person deceived him. There's a new translation out of Scripture. I think it came out in, I want to say, 2018, 2017, called the Passion Translation Bible. Who's heard of that? You've heard of it? Yes. It is claimed that they are a translation of the Scriptures. They claim that they translate the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic text into the English. Sounds really good. Sounds like a good Bible. That's their claim. They have an FAQ section on their own website. They make several concerning remarks about the translation process. Here's a quote. The meaning of a passage took priority over the form of the original words. Sometimes in order to communicate the correct intended meaning, words need to be changed. Another quote. The Passion Translation is more in favor of prioritizing God's original message over the word's literal meaning. They're taking liberty to change things. They're taking liberty to manipulate scriptures to make it fit an agenda that they have already. Who brought their Bibles today? Who brought a Bible? I want somebody to go ahead and go to, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. All right, it's saying that Scripture is useful for all areas of life, right? Teaching, correcting, rebuking, training. Used for all of that, right? Here it is in that other translation I want to share with you guys. Every Scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Are you guys sensing anything? You should be asking yourself, is that right? See, what they're doing is they're adding extra phrases. They're adding extra words. It's not even a paraphrase. They're trying to make it fit an agenda that they want. Just for instance, at Luke 1:37, the ESV says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." The Passion Translation is this: "No promise of God is empty of power, for with God there is no such thing as impossibility." You see how they're twisting words and making it fit towards what they're trying to do? It's not a translation, and it was written by one person. By one person took this upon himself to write it, and it's only done in the New Testament. They don't have an Old Testament yet. And they give a lot more comparisons in here, but anyways, this group of people that's promoting this are deceiving people, yet they're using the Christian terminology, they're using Christian words that we're familiar with to lead us into deception. And he says, guys, we need to understand Scripture. We need to know what it says. We need to be into God's Word. We need to be connecting with Him. Why? So we can avoid deception. He said it was a really hard lesson for him and the church to learn. The next guy that taught, he taught about baptism. He taught about the different modes of baptism. He opposed a question, is baptism a ordinance or a sacrament? Why do we get baptized? To be obedient to God. He called us to be baptized after salvation, to give a outward profession of faith. There's nothing that we can do that if we get baptized, it doesn't give us credit for salvation. It's just a result of salvation. He gave a really good talk about that. Now, the other guy, the professor from Yellowstone Bible College, what he did is he connected the Old and the New Testament and talked about the birth of Christ. He talked about, more specifically, the Magi. He talked about how we always get this idea that there's a few wise men come into Bethlehem and go see the Christ child, right? Well, actually what it is it was another empire. There was this wall after the Roman Empire. It would be east of there. They came from the east, and these two empires were against each other. There was a border that nobody had really crossed, but they were allowed to cross in. And they didn't come as just a couple guys. They came in as power. They came in as power. And they had guards with them as they went to go see the Jesus. Very fascinating the way he connected the culture and the land to the Scriptures and see how it all fits together, on how sometimes we can have a different view, but when we really look at it, we see a whole lot more. He also talked about how Herod, he really didn't have a choice but to have Jesus crucified because he was trying to please his superior. And the Roman government is goofy. We got to learn a little bit about how that structure all works, how they would appoint people in different positions. And sometimes these people would only last for like 2 years, and he'd get rid of them. So what he wanted to do was please the ruler. That's why he had him executed, well, crucified. And then I got to speak over there, and what I did is we went through the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Again, it goes along with the whole discernment. Which way are you going to go? Because we're being pulled two different ways. The world's pulling at us, and if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, He wants us. And we need to figure out which way we need to go. That was a really good 10-hour study of different topics. And we wanted the kids, we wanted to challenge the students to grow in their faith, to know who Christ is, and to stop adopting their parents' faith and make it their own, be grounded in their own faith. Then after that, the next day, on Sunday, is when the training started for camp. It went from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 o'clock. That's a long day. We went through the whole rules and did the how to hook up the harness right and to make sure nobody falls off the jungle swing. As you've seen that girl going back and forth on there, yes. What was it? 9 years ago, it wasn't hooked up right and a camper fell. Yes. Yeah, we have training on that every year. And then after that, we got to listen to a child protection place. Rob Schwab came in and talked to us how to recognize signs of abuse and how to handle certain situations and how to do active listening to when you're around campers that have problems and what you need to report and what you don't have to report. Too bad I had to use part of that training last week as well. And then Monday came around, and camp started at 9 o'clock, and kids get there at 8:30. A normal day at camp would be staff meeting at 8:15, followed by a quick activity of like speed connect four, where you're at the both sides of the gym and you take one and as fast as you can, or rock, paper, scissors, jumping through hula hoops, things like that, get the blood going. We had breakfast. After breakfast, we would have a time called the testimony time, to where I got a person every day to share a testimony or to share a teaching time. And one person talked about how to study your Bible, how to study it. And what he used is the SOAP message is what he used. And it's studying in Scripture, it is applying Scripture, it is observation of Scripture, and praying. And I didn't get those in order. And what they were challenged with was to take time apart from your busy life and spend it with God. Spend it with God. Sometimes we get so busy with our job, so busy with family, so busy with friends, so busy with tasks, that we don't take the time to study. We don't take the time to get into God's Word. We don't take the time to talk to Him. Sometimes an hour might seem too much a day. If you really can't squeeze an hour in, try a half hour, 15 minutes. At least get started. And the really cool thing about that is after testimony time, these kids, they had devotion time after that. And I saw groups of kids go off, all parts of camp. They would either go by themselves or with a group, and they would actually sit there and they would actually read their scriptures. They would talk about it. They would grow more into it. I got so excited when I saw that. And the reason why I knew they enjoyed it is because if I rang the bell too early to get them to their next thing, they weren't happy. Said, you cut it off too short. So after that devotion time would be a group activity. Now during this group activity, I had a tournament. Half would go play nine square in the air, which is kind of what we have over here in pieces. It's like four square, but more squares, but it's in the air too. And then speedball. Speedball is another name for ultimate frisbee, but we use a football. And the object is to eat, and we've got 2 4x8 sheets on both ends. And in there's a hole about this big in it. And what you had to do is pass the football, and you can only take 3 steps once you caught it, and either hit it, the board for 1 point, or go through the hole for 3. And at the very last game, I had 2 undefeated teams. It was really cool to see. And one team lost at 9 square, the other lost at speedball. And what they were doing is they were trying to accumulate points to get a head start in the relay that was at the end of the week. Then after that, they would have lunch. And then we had 2 missionaries come in, and they were in, where were they at? Papua New Guinea. And one of them was a pilot. And he talked about the different places he's been, and he even brought a flight simulator for the kids to play with and see how good they were. They were trying to get the kids mission-minded, and they even brought some coconuts, and some kids got to shave them out, too, to clean them all. It was a pretty neat activity they had. After that was cabin time. Again, more connection with each other. And during this cabin time, I said, you counselors can do anything you want to with your cabin. You can go play a game. You can go on a walk. At camp there, we have 19 holes of frisbee golf. 19 holes. And part of the relay was completing 9 of those. And when you're out walking around, you feel more comfortable, you're more relaxed, you can open up better when you're having the time as a group, just getting out, enjoying God's creation, enjoying what He has for us to observe. And then again, we had another group game where we just had another activity that we did. And then after that was free time. We had a block of free time. I want to say it was about 2 hours. To where they could do whatever they wanted to at that time, whether that be going to the jungle swing, the zip line, go play with the RC cars, go take a nap, go swimming, and then dinner at 6, and then chapel at 7:15. Now, during chapel time, we had a wonderful speaker, there. And God used him. God used him. I said earlier, he had a challenge. He had a challenge for the kids. He said, stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Take time for God. He used Isaiah 7:4, where it says, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your hearts be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrand. Now he's talking to the king, and he's about ready to go to war. And what it actually literally says is, take care, do nothing. Do nothing. See, when we start doing things on our own power, what happens to us? How many times do we succeed? God's gracious. He'll let us have one or two. He'll let us have one or two. But what he's saying is, don't get worked up over it. Don't go attack. Stop. And that's what we wanted the campers to do. Stop. In our lives, stop for a moment. Look at who God is. Look what he has already done. As Israel can look past through their past, they can see how God has worked when they trusted on God. Did God deliver them when he said he was going to? Yes. Yes, when they followed his way, because his ways are perfect. Stop and listen to him. And as you study more in your scripture, as you spend more time with God, he's going to make things more clear. See, in camp, these kids, we call it a spiritual high. They're so on fire for God that they want to take on the world at camp to when they're protected. They don't have the influence of the outside, because the really cool thing is there's very little cell phone service there. They're protected in there. So they're training up to go out there and do ministry. And he's saying, once you get out there, we're going to be faced with many different things. It's kind of like the church. We're all kind of safe in here. We can have our Christian talk without being persecuted too much. We can disagree on minor things. But out there's the real world, to where we need to be used by God to be doing his work that he has designed us for. But we like the security of being enclosed, to where we can discuss our faith without too much fear. It's tough using it out there. And he used a fire illustration. When you're building a fire, you're going to put things on it that's going to benefit it, right? When we're on fire for Christ, we're going to, of course, we start off small with kindling and gasoline, lighter fluid, sticks. No. I like starting them with dryer lint. That works really good. And then you're going to build on that. You're going to build on that. And you're not going to get big logs in there right away. What happens when you get a big log in there right away? It goes out. You're going to squish it. It's not going to go up. It's what we surround ourselves with. What are we going to do to fuel our fire? Are we just going to throw a big wet log in? How good does that work? No, it doesn't work very well. What he's saying is we need to be on fire for God. We need to know how to fuel it. We need to spend time with him. And we need to apply his word to our lives. So as you guys study, read, and pray, and think about, how does this affect me? What am I going to use this for? Because coming to church on Sunday to get your only Bible reading in, how effective is that? It's not. It's not. Not very effective, because we lose it. How long can we go without water? 3 days or so, right? About 3 days. Which starts killing us off physically, right? So if we take a week without scripture, what does that do with our spiritual life? Can we be discerning? Do we know where God is pulling us? Do we know the direction he wants us to go? Can we fall into deceptive traps if we're not in it? That's what happens when we're outside of him, when we're not focused on him. And that's, I wanted to give a short testimony. That is what I got out of it this week, is what am I doing? Am I doing the things that's pleasing to God? Am I focusing on Him? Am I taking enough time for Him? Ask yourself that question too. Now, I'm not saying you have to join every single Bible study that is available. I'm saying we got to make sure we're in tune with God so we know the direction that He wants to take us. So we could be burning for Him. In a campfire, when you separate the logs out, what happens? Fire kind of goes down when you put two of them together. They feed off each other too. Know which logs you want to be with. You can spend a little time with wet logs, but not too much. When you spend time with each other in your faith, challenge each other. There are so many of us there at camp that have a different view on certain doctrines. But with those, our faith is challenged. Why do I believe what I believe? And I'm asking you guys the same thing. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? Think on that this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the many Christian camps that are going on right now. We have Camp Judson coming up, another wonderful place to where your word is going to be heard, to where people can grow on you, to where people can have this safe place to learn about you, to where they can study you without persecution. It's a group thing. They get together, they strengthen, they encourage each other. They help grow each other, even though they have different views on different topics. Yet we come together and we know that the focus is you and your Son crucified who saves us. You are the one that justifies us. You are the one that saves us. You are the one that sends your Spirit to us, that secures us for salvation. And we come before you and we say, thank you so much. And I pray for blessings upon these camps. I pray for those that are getting ready to go to Camp Judson, Lord. Guide them. Make that camp available to those who need to go, those who need to hear the Word of God. I pray for the directors, the counselors, guide them in everything that they do. And also, Lord, I pray that you give them the rest that they need and prepare the hearts of those campers that go there. And Lord, help us to focus on you as a church. Help us to focus on your way. Help us to focus on you and use discernment. Illuminate us as we read so we know right and wrong. We can follow you, make a better testimony of our lives, Lord. I just thank you that we can come to you with anything. And Lord, you do hear us. And you are there for us. And I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
James 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You are dismissed.